Belly alcoholic. I just want to thank Kristen for asking me to come and speak, and probably couldn't have been a more opportune time. And I just want to welcome our newcomer and say happy birthday to our birthday takers. That's awesome. Sobriety date is December 16th, 2012. So coming up on a birthday myself. So I have no idea what my message is tonight, but it's, what it was like and what it's like now. And I grew up here in Santa Maria, and my parents, they just celebrated 48 years together, and growing up, my parents worked really hard, and we didn't have any. It was pretty normal, pretty normal childhood. When I went to school, and I really was blessed to school came easy to me, and I excelled in school, until I got a lot more social skills, and then I was getting written up for things like, talking too much in class, and starting to be a little bit defiant, and then I always looked up to my parents and my mom, and when I would write, like, assignments, what you want to do when you grow up, it was always about my mom. So, anyways, you'll know why it's emotional for me later. But, anyways, so growing up, school was easy. And then, I started to get really social and started... just being kind of the bully, getting, picking on kids, and then junior high came, and I don't know what happened, it just, my interest changed, school wasn't sufficient anymore for me, and I needed some more excitement, and then came boys, hanging out, at the skating rink, and doing our little thing, and that's when I really started to take off in a different direction. I stopped going to school. It was just causing a lot of problems at school, partying and hanging out with the crowd that was much older than me, high school kids when I was in junior high, and kids that had dropped out and stuff. I went to the high school a couple times, and then it was like, oh, I want to hang out with the kids that weren't going to school, And of course, if you're not in school and you're that age, you're doing some other curricular activities, So at a very young age, I start, drinking and smoking and pretty much a garbage can, by the time I was 14 years old. I started running away a lot. I have a younger brother. And, so my mom's trying to do the best she can, and she's just, chasing me down in the streets, and I'm taking off, and I can just recall, I was trying to think of some good times, I was like, God, when was it fun, that's kind of all washed out a little bit, because for whatever reason, I wanted to go hard, and I did, and I took off when I was 13 years old. I took off to L.A., and I ran away for about a month until the sheriffs Paramount were looking for me, and then they, you know, the people I was down there with said, you know, you need to go home now. So I said, all right. But not before, you know, the uncle took us to Disneyland for my birthday because I turned 14 down there, you know, so that was fun. And then we went to some funeral, and they said, he's going to take you home. And I said, okay, you know. And he's drunk, blacked out drunk, you know, nice Corvette, 70s Corvette. And he said, you know how to drive? And I said, nope. And he goes, well, you're going to learn tonight. So we're coming back from Hanford, and I'm driving this Corvette, this stick shift, and I learned how to drive that night, that stick shift. And and on this two-lane road, you know, I'm driving on the other side of the lane, you know, not even knowing, you know, the rules of the road. I never paid attention, you know, when I was in the car on vacation or whatever. And so I got back over on the right side, and all of a sudden these cars are coming this way, and I was like, oh, shit. Then it was like, okay, it clicked, you know, this is a two-way here. So, you know, this is how young and naive I am. And when I was down there in L.A., you know, I don't know what I was thinking. You know, I don't know what I was thinking. And you would have thought that that experience would have been enough for me to kind of think about that. One night before the sheriff started knocking on the doors, we're standing at the taco truck on the corner of Paramount Boulevard and something else. It's you know, probably 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it was, and all of a sudden this guy comes up and starts stabbing this other guy, and kills him right there. And the guy, you know, the guy I'm with, and he just says, just keep eating, you know. So I just stood there, you know, with my taco to my mouth, and as soon as he left, you know, the guy's blood on the ground, and we took off running him. And that was the first time I ever saw somebody get cut up in front of me. And it didn't faze me, you know. It didn't faze me. You know, I came home, and I was in and out, running away all the time, constantly going out that window, I think to a point where my mom even nailed the window shut, you know. Yeah, you know, she's like, you know, not taking the cops over to, you know, people's houses. You know, I think one time we were having a good time, a doll was hanging from the fan, you know, we were probably on some hallucinates or something, you know. And then again, they're like, you gotta go, you know, the cops are, you know, you're ruining our good time, you know. So I went home, and you know, but I was out of junior high, I think. You know, my folder file sat on the desk of the vice principal. Her name was Mrs. Hamner or something. And so that was it. They just wanted me out of that school, you know. They didn't have a schedule for me at the high school. So I started going to El Puente. And that didn't last too long, you know. And for whatever reason, I got a little job, I think, at Burger King or something. And I was doing good for a little while, you know. So my mom, you know, buys me a car, you know. You're doing good. Well, that car, you know, and those boys, you know, that was it, you know. And I get out there, and I'm rolling around, and this is, you know, like in the mini truck days, you know, all the mini trucks are out there, and we're at the mall parking lot, whatever. But, you know, I'm just going from, I didn't really have a clique of friends. My friends always changed, you know, because I like to go hard, you know. When I drank, I drank until there was no more to drink, or we couldn't get any more. And so my friends just kept changing. You know, I would just go from place to place, and they would tell me, you know, oh, you're crazy, she's crazy. And, you know, I thought crazy meant that was cool, you know. It was, you know, shit, you know. So I'm going for the crazy, you know. And you know, then I met this guy, and he's about 7 years older than me. I think I was 16. He was like 22. And I thought I had arrived, you know. It was life was good, you know. He had money, and we had a car club, and my mom had emancipated me by then, by 16, and it was on, you know. It was on. I had my own house, you know. I'm 16 years old. I have my own house, my own everything, and I didn't have to work, you know, because he was in business. So that went on for a few years, and then, you know, I didn't know any better. That was my first, actually, that was my second relationship, and the other guy was 7 years older than me, too, and then it started getting, you know, he was verbally and physically abusive, and I just got tired, you know. Something in me, I went back to L.A. So I cut and ran and went back to L.A. And he's chasing me down there and everything. And finally, he got busted and got him out of my life. And then from there, it's kind of coming back and forth, you know. I'm just, everything centered around the party, you know, the drinking, the drugging, whatever. I don't remember a lot of that time. I don't remember, like, it being fun, like going to clubs or going to baseball games or anything like that. It was, you know, I kind of picked up on those habits from that boyfriend of mine, and I got really good at it. So I would just coming back and forth from Santa Maria, and you know, I don't know what happened, but everybody in here probably knows there's no future in that stuff here, you know. So I thought that I could go to LA and run really hard, and I was 19. I moved to San Diego for a summer. That was fun. That was fun. That was a really good time. I spent the summer down there. I was 20, and that was a good time. I could say that was probably the one good time that it was. Lots of going out and clubbing, fake ID, you know. I was, you know, buying alcohol here in town when I was 18, and so then let's see. So then I got my bartending license. Oh yeah, that was one thing. I got my bartending license, and I went down to San Diego, and I had partied that weekend, and coming home that Monday, you know, I was pretty hungover, you know, but I was like, I can do this, you know. So I had turned 21 that weekend, so I stopped in Riverside, and I took the bartending. You had to do all the drinks and lay them across the bar or whatever, and I did that, and it was all good. So I got this job at a bar, and you know, the other girls didn't like me because how I got this job is I played on a dart team, you know, down in LA, you know, we're doing the whole dart team and everything, and just, you know, just getting loaded, you know, loaded. And I was pretty, I think I was in a blackout, I don't even remember, but I got, I don't know if you play darts, but I got a hat trick, you know, and I got a couple of them that night, but I don't remember, but they were all happy about this, and so the bartender's Cuban lady, you know, she offered me a job, and I was like, all right, cool. So I start working at this bar, and I'm doing good, and I'm bringing in tips, you know, and I'm doing my other little business on the side, then her son wants to come party one night. Well, she wasn't very happy about that. So he didn't come home that night. And when he did come home, he was pretty tore up. So she said, you got to go. Once again, you got to go. I said, all right. She had her little pistol there on the counter and stuff. And I got it. I got it. You know, and don't be contacting my son anymore, you know. Like, all right. So, you know, he's had a wife and kids, and I said, hey, you know, no problem, you know. So, from there, I just, I know this is Alcoholics Anonymous, but, you know, drugs is a part of my story. And I got really involved down there in that scene. And it was pretty, nothing like I had ever done before, you know what I mean? How old was I then? I would think I was 21, you know, and I'm in neighborhoods that I shouldn't be in, and I'm picking up in places where I shouldn't be picking up at, and I'm, you know, riding around. You know, they do that thing called like taxing and stuff, you know, I'm just traveling. I'm just hitting these hotels. I have nowhere to go, nowhere to live, you know, really. I'm just kind of bouncing around from hotel to hotel. And this goes on for a while. And it was, for whatever reason, I just knew it was going to keep me safe, you know. I was just trying to stay safe because, like I said, it was not the world that I was used to. It's all pretty surreal. But anyways, so that went on for a while, for a couple years, and then I met a guy down there, and I got pregnant with my son. I know now that it was the grace of God that brought me back home, you know, because for whatever reason, I packed it up that day. And I didn't stop doing my activities, but I packed it up and I came home. When I came home, you know, I was about 125 and wearing a long, you know, trench coat and, you know, carrying a 9mm in my back pocket, you know, and in my back, and just, you know, my brother and my family were just like, who are you, you know? And I still wasn't right then, you know, there was one time that my... I just didn't have any concern for anybody. I mean, the drugs and the alcohol just stripped me of everything, you know. I lived on that delusion for since I was 14 years old. I have no regard for anybody whatsoever. I had to leave my parents' house. You know, I'm, you know, burying money in the backyard and doing crazy shit. You know, pulling out that gun on my brother one time, and I'll never forget the look on his face. So I got out of there. I got my own place and stuff, I had my son, let me back up. Wait a minute. You know, this was probably 6 months before, about 4 months before I got pregnant with my son. I got busted in LA, that was the first time I'd ever gotten arrested. And I went to Sybil Brown downtown LA, and that was an experience. Yeah, you know, that wasn't like, you know, going to Santa Barbara County over here, you know. So that was another time where, you know, I'm, you know, in the holding facility with the, you know, the hookers from Sunset Boulevard, and you know, it's like the movie in there, you know, how they show the movies, you know, when they go to the chow line and stuff, you know, they lock you in this quarter and it gets really loud, and that's where all this, you know, that's where all the drugs and the weapons and everything are being, you know, passed and stuff. And I'm like, man, I got to get out of here because now I'm coming down, you know. So I spent a week there. The cool thing about LA County was that they put all my money that I had in my pockets, they put it on my books. So when I got out and had $1,500, I was off and running again. So I came home for Thanksgiving a couple two weeks later, and like I said, you know, showed up at my mom's door, and I think that was the time, and they were like, she bought me another car, she's just to get me out of here, you know, just, you need to go. So, because pretty much unrecognizable, you know, to what they knew, who they knew. And so I took off, and then I came back here. Well, when I came back here, I, you know, picked up a 11550 and got my first little program. But, you know, I'm thinking, no, I don't have a problem. You know, this public defender's going, you know, well, this is for people who have a problem, you know. And I'm like, oh, okay, I got a problem. Yeah, I got a problem. Now I get it, you know. So I took the program, you know. And, you know, I came into the room, so that year was 1995. That was the first time I ever came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't know what it was about, or, you know, basically was hanging out to get that court card signed. So I did a program. I think I got about 10 months sober in that program that time. And lo and behold, you know, I went out, started drinking, testing the waters, because it gave me a little bit more leash. Every, you know, every phase you get a little bit more leash. And we went out drinking one night and, you know, doing other stuff without even thinking. I'm testing once a week, you know, and I'm getting loaded, you know, the night before. So that's a problem. So I did that program. I got an extension, went in for violation, whatever, and I got out of that program. Well, I started to get my life together after that. I don't know what happened, but I decided I was going to go to school. So I went and got my certificate, and I started working. It was first time I had any kind of work history ever. You know, I was 24, 25, and I had no work history whatsoever. So I start working, and life started getting good. You know, I wasn't drinking and using as much, and then my son's dad and I got together, and we got married, and you know, I think I'm doing good because I'm not using and drinking, you know, but I'm running around with untreated alcoholism and have no idea what this is, you know. All I know is that this is the way that life should be, and you need to do what I say, and I drove myself crazy trying to make that marriage what I thought it was supposed to be, you know, So needless to say, the alcohol picked up again, and, you know, all I have is this experience of this abuse in a relationship. So when you don't do what I say, then I became the abuser in this relationship. And pretty much, you know, you hear people in the rooms, you know, say that, you know, taking people hostage, and he was my hostage, you know. And so things got really ugly, and everything looked really good on the outside. You know, I couldn't see a problem with it because I'm holding down a job. I'm paying the bills, you know. I'm a PTA mom with vodka in my cup. You know, and I'm doing it, you know. So who are you to tell me to put the drink down? Don't be counting my drinks. Uh-uh. No, don't be counting my drinks. So, you know, and then I start going out to the bars, and then, you know, I thought that was fun for a while, you know, being a bar drinker. That was fun, you know, because everybody's drinking like me, you know. They're encouraging me, patting, yeah, he's an asshole, you know. So I'm like, yeah, that's right, and I'm going to leave this asshole, you know. And so he drives truck, and he took off one night, and he said, I'm going trucking. I don't know, you know, probably had some choice words for me. I said, all right. So I knew that night when he left that I was going to pick up that house the next day and pretty much bail, and I did. So I picked up that house and I left. But by this time, I'm a full-blown alcoholic, just a mess, a freaking hot mess. I'm dragging my kid around. I'm drinking and driving. I'm drinking and driving with my kid, with other kids in the car. You know, I'm trying to recapture those times when it was cool bumping the music and, you know, I don't know, you know. And I had a really good job, you know. I had a really good job, and I made more money than him, so I thought, I'm going to show you, you know. I'm going to show you. And, I moved out. I moved in with my parents, and then once again, you know, my dad's, you got to get up and go to work. You know, and it's reeking like alcohol in the room, you know. And my son's starting to do the same things I was doing in school, you know. And I think I'm doing pretty good for an eighth grade, you know, education. And my son comes home with a tattoo, and I was pissed, you know. And I pretty much, you know, was, I'm going to show you again, too, you know. I run this show, and so I said, I got to get him out of here. We lived in Orchid and stuff, and we had moved to Santa Maria for a while, and he started hanging out, and it was going nowhere good fast. So I said, I got to get him out of here. And not even thinking about myself or that I had a problem. So then I got a DUI before I could do that, and best thing that ever happened to me. So, you know, I had come in and out of here through that program when it was, what, 95? I think I put a little bit of time together, maybe worked steps 1, 2, and 3. Had no clue what it was about, you know. And when I got my DUI, I was pretty bankrupt, you know. I was pretty bankrupt. I was pretty sick, you know. That what I would like to think I'd have a glass of wine with dinner, cooking dinner, became, you know, 3 bottles a night, and you know, my boss would be like, you know, when you're on, nobody can hold a candle to you. But when you're, you know, I'm like telling the customers, but I'm still doing it, you know, I'm doing it. So I'm like, all right. But he like enabled me, you know, to just, you got to get it together, you know. And I'm like, all right. So I'd stay sober for a day or something. And so after I got the DUI, I came in here and I was like, man, you know, I really got to give this an honest try, you know, for my son. He's growing up and he's headed for the same road. And I'm all he's got. You know, his dad moved on. He got himself a little girlfriend and he moved on. And so coming in here and, you know, I was doing it for my son, which means the world to me, you know, greatest blessing. But that's not enough. That was not enough to keep me sober, you know. No matter how bad I wanted to, or God, I wanted to stay sober that time, and I just couldn't do it. You know, I put a little bit of time together, and I go back out, and then I think, again, it gets, you know, I'm in and out, in and out, in and out. And I think that time when I came in, Lisa B., she sponsored me, and you know, she was great, you know. So she helped me get through these steps, and I must have picked up some tools, you know. I must have picked up some tools, but I don't know how to use them, you know. I don't know how to use them, and I ended up, I think, and then I relapsed again, and got another sponsor, and started doing the deal again. And I really, really wanted to stay sober, you know. But I would go out with you guys, and that nightlife would still, man, it would just light me up, you know. I was like, I'm missing something, you know. I wasn't done, you know. I just wasn't done. So I tried to do it one more time, you know. All that stuff that the book says, you know, I'm, you know, switching alcohols and all that stuff. But, you know, I'm going, you know, and now I'm pushing 40, you know, and nobody's around, you know, nobody, you know, all that drinking and drugging, I'm living in a delusion, you know, that I'm starting to see that alcohol is lying to me, but I can't put it down, you know, because every time, you know, I achieved something, I had to celebrate it, you know. Every time, you know, life got hard, I was the victim, and I need a drink, you know, because this shit hurts, you know. And I had the armor when I came in here, people would tell, I remember, they'd say, God, I was afraid of you. And I'm like, really? You know, because what I found coming back this last time, after I relapsed for about 18 months, I stayed out there. I'm 41 years old, and at the end of that 18 months, I physically assaulted my friend and shattered her cheekbone. And, you know, this is my best friend. She's my maid of honor in my wedding. I was a maid of honor in her wedding, you know, and she struck me, and I don't know how it happened, but it just did, you know. I had a bottle in my hand, and I didn't realize it, and that's just where I was in my drinking. So 2 weeks later, about two and a half weeks later, I went through a brick wall in my car. At my son's work, mind you. Yeah. They're like, your mom's here. He's like, she just came through the brick wall. He's like, we need to get out of here. And I'm like, ah. He said, I was like, I gotta pee, you know. And, you know, I wanted hot dogs, and, you know. And he's like, we gotta go, you know. So we went home, and when we got home, I said, you want to go to 7-Eleven and get another 12-pack? Let's go. Come on, let's go over to so-and-so's house. He's like, Mom, you wrecked the car. Who did? And go back out there and look at it again. So I did this a few times, going back and forth looking at the car, you know. Couldn't believe it, and I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. Let's go get, you want to go to the liquor store? Let's go to the liquor store. And he's like, no, Mom, you wrecked the car. We're not going anywhere. So this poor kid, you know, the next day I wake up and he goes, and I can remember going to bed that night and thinking, girl, you are headed for prison. You are headed for something bad was around the corner. And so he told me the next morning, he goes, Mom, I think you need to go back to those meetings. And I said, yeah, son, I think you're right. So here I come, you know, tail between my legs. And I think a couple months before that, I called my sponsor, and I'm like, I'm done, you know, I'll meet you at the meeting and not show up, you know, or something like that. Yeah, that was me. But I was pretty, this time, I wasn't doing it for anybody. Wasn't doing it for anybody at all. I was empty. My soul was empty. There was nothing left out there. Finally, you know. I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. You know, what a blessing. And I came in and I got a coffee commitment at the airport. I did that for the first year of my sobriety, coming back in. Huh, man, yeah, what a blessing to be empty. Never thought, you know, you would say that, you know. And I did work the steps, and my sponsor, you know, the women in the program, I finally, too, I was like, women's meetings? Uh-uh. No. And, you know, I finally let those women love me until I could love myself. And it felt strange, and it felt not comfortable at all. And everything I did, and they said, it doesn't matter how you feel, it matters what you do. You know, and I'm like, huh, yeah, all right, I'll let you tell it. Yeah, and so I heard that a lot, you know. Well, remember, it doesn't matter how you feel. I'm like, shit, I'm still hearing it today. Don't get me wrong, shit. So anyways, so that first year was pretty good, you know, letting go and letting these women love me and working through the steps and honestly wanting it for myself. Well, after a year of sobriety, then it gets really real. You know? Now what? I worked those 12 steps. I've been sober a whole year. I mean, you know, come on. What now? So, well, you just keep coming. You just got to keep going to meetings. And I'm not getting this, you know, it was, I can remember it being a turnoff going, I got to do this for my whole life. Freaking serious right now? So, And coming in and looking at the differences instead of the similarities, you know, it's like, I don't want to be like you at that, at, you know, 10 years, shit, you know. Well, you know, you just keep coming back and buckle up, you know, because at 4 years, you know, almost 4 years, no fronts, but, you know, I've built friendships, actual friendships, people I care about in this program, and they genuinely care for me, and they don't want anything from me, you know. My sponsor would tell me when I went through, I think I was 2 years, 2.5 years, you know, thought I was going to die from another relationship, you know. Never going to get over that. Well, she says, you're going to be okay. You know, one day you're going to share your experience and strength with another girl. Guess what? Lo and behold, yeah, I get to share my strength with other women in the program today about breakups and relationships. And finally, I think about 2 years, I finally took that advice too. If you're not in a relationship or you're not married or don't have any kids, don't do it for a whole year, you know. And my sponsor told me maybe two for you. and so it was about that. It was about that time, you know. And best 2 years of my life. I've learned so much about Shelley, and not that I do it perfectly, because we don't have to. You know, all those readings, chapter 5, more about alcoholism, you know, first of all, I had to find the first step, too. That was my first challenge, you know, what's the first step, you know, and conceded to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic. I had to believe that wholeheartedly for me, nobody else. And that was the first step. Then it was, you know, taking some suggestions, you know, and working those steps and letting a higher power direct my life, you know. And when I let that higher power direct my life, my perception's on, you know, I'm feeling good, you know, I'm at peace inside. And when I don't, when I take back the reins, you know, that's why I said at the beginning, you know, that it couldn't have been at a better time because I've been down the rabbit hole for about, God, I don't know, about 2 months maybe, something like that. Yeah. That's not fun. That's not fun. And you know, along with, you know, this alcoholism, and that's what it is the ism now. You know, the drink is gone. The obsession's not there to use. And I'm not going to tell you, it's not that I wanted to drink in these 2 months, but the ease and comfort that would bring, the relief, I wanted that. I wanted that. But I know that a drink will never fix that in a million years, you know. So I just don't pick up that drink. Yeah, but also with the alcoholism, you know, because the ism is just, it's alive and functioning, you know, so that's why I got to keep coming back and keeping this in check and practicing, this program. And, it's probably a good time for me to go through those steps again. Hint, hint. But you know, Today, my life, you know, I was always had the job, and it looked good on the outside, but I've been in a lot of pain, you know, in sobriety too, you know, and I suffer from depression, chronic depression, and that is not fun. You know, Bill Wilson also went through that, so I've been, you know, trying to do some research and to get some answers because there's a way through it. It's not always, I don't know. It's just that I'm just starting to dip into this. I'm in emotional sobriety and getting through the depression. And it's a little bit different than just the alcoholism, but the ism is just my perception, and I've got to switch that perception. And tonight, even I, you know, was able to do that with, you know, because up until before I came to speak, you know, I'm texting my sponsor. I'm like, you lied. You said it was going to be, I was going to be somewhere else at this point. And I'm not. Well, that's your choice, you know. Keep dragging yourself behind the truck or surrender, you know. Let go. Let go. So I did some prayer and worship for about 30 minutes before I came over here. Lo and behold, what happens, you know. You know, so I don't know. I've got a lot going on right now, and I know that it's just really different. They say, you know, your life will change, you know. This is a million-dollar program, a nickel at a time. I recently went back to school. I've got some good things going on. It's totally different to go to school than to work out there in the world, you know. It's just a different lifestyle. And I got a long ways to go, but you know what? I found out that I didn't kill as many brain cells as I thought I did, and I'm able to pull some grades in those classes. And I'm headed for A's in all my classes, and they're not easy classes. So I'm pretty proud of myself for that. But I couldn't have done it if I wasn't sober. And the emotional, the part that I don't want to share, to be, you know, to be what is it? Would take all that armor off and just that woman that I looked up to as a little girl. I watched her deteriorate over the last 6 months. And, that's the real shit. But if I wasn't sober, I would be going to her house 3 times a week and washing her hair, cleaning her up. And that's the gifts of sobriety, right there. Yeah. All that other stuff, it doesn't mean it, you know? But it's life. It's things we've got to walk through. And like I said earlier, you know, I'm convinced there's no amount of drinks that can ever fill that void. And what I do is I try to enjoy her on a daily basis. I've been able to build a really strong relationship with my dad, my brother. He lives with me. And, and he respects me today because of this program and what I do to stay sober and how I'm there for my mom. Because right now, you know, I hold it together, you know. I guess it made me tough for a reason, you know, because I'm the rock, and I'll probably be the last one to deal with all this, but it's all right. But I'm just really grateful that I am sober today and that I'm able to be there and that I can work with other women in the program. And, you know, if you're new or somewhat new, I mean, there's just no better way, you know. We lose loved ones, and my mom gets to see me sober. And there's no better blessing than that, you know? And my son, he respects me, and he's a good kid. He's a good kid, everything that he's been through. Still have a long ways to go, and I'm just grateful that I'm still remaining teachable, and you know, that vulnerable, that's the word that I was looking for earlier. I don't like to stand up here and be vulnerable, you know. I don't like to, you know, to tell that, but that's the real stuff, you know. That's the real stuff that I'm challenged with today in my life, you know. So I got school, where I got, you know, family stuff, so. But because of Alcoholics Anonymous and the fellowship, I'm only able to stay sober. And God willing, I'll be celebrating, you know, 4 years, December 16th. So, if you're new, look for the similarities and not the differences. And give yourself a chance, you know. There's worse things than standing up here and seeing some, you know, crying in front of a bunch of people or whatever, showing the real, what's really going on, you know what I mean? Because, I don't know, I just have a really good life today. I have a good life because I feel good inside, and I'm a good person, and I'm not trying to take, you know. I'm a giver, and I don't know. So that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share. Woo!